Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We've got a secret source for incredible gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique handpicked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. They spark joy, wonder, delight. They're very cool and very special, and there's no way anyone else will be gifting them. So if you want to avoid making holiday shopping stressful and chaotic, and God forbid you just end up getting everyone just gift cards, go to Uncommon Goods now and get started instead. Plus, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you are supporting artists and small businesses. And if you're actually looking for a gift that you don't have to worry about getting lost in the mail, you have to check out their Uncommon Experiences. They're amazing opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways, from tarot card reading, astrology charting, cooking, mixology, crafts, gardening, so much more. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/paddockproject. That's uncommongoods.com/paddockproject for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. We have the recap of all recaps for you. I'm so excited to talk to Chessa and Sarah about this race. I was so sad that they couldn't be there for it, but we will recap everything with you all now. I had the absolute best time ever, and I hate to say it to you guys, I think this is my favorite race that I've ever been to.
That's amazing. So, then it should be. You had such an insane time.
It was so, so fun. And we can talk about the comparison from last year to this year. But yeah, and in your stead, as much as I missed you guys, it was so amazing to have Tabby, one of our listeners, with me. So it was amazing to have her there. She was such a help with everything and could not have done it without her. So Tabby, thank you for tagging along for the ride. But with that, let's dive in. We have so much to talk about. We're going to recap the whole experience and then obviously talk about the racing. But yeah, I'm Tiggy.
I'm Chessa.
And I'm Sarah. Okay, Tiggy, I think kicking it off, I would love to know, I'm not going to ask you for a highlight because I feel like that's impossible, but if there's kind of an overall takeaway, like we do for the race, if there's kind of an overall takeaway.
What's your MVP and LVP?
Oh my gosh. It's so hard to pick one, Sarah. I think to your point, like, I feel like this race, I did so much variety in a way yeah, that we haven't necessarily done before. And I really enjoyed that. And it wasn't in a way that I felt we were spread too thin, but it was really nice to be able to see different teams, different partners, different people. I ran into so many creators, which was also such a highlight of this weekend. It felt like almost every creator was there, and it was so fun to just hang out with that community and get to know people a little bit better. I do have to say the highlight may have been, well, there are so many highlights, but the hot lap going down the strip at 195 miles per hour, courtesy of McLaren and MasterCard, I think is probably one of the highlights of my life. But this entire weekend was just amazing. I honestly can't do an LVP except for the lack of sleep, I think.
Okay, that's totally fair. So start us off
on Wednesday. That's a good LVP for Vegas.
Yeah. I'm running on fumes right now.
Start us on Wednesday. So you had the amazing dinner with Carmen and What's Up?
Yes. So this was so cool. It was a kind of private dinner with Carmen honoring women in motorsport. Again, so many creators were there. It was really nice. And I think it was my first experience of a brand kind of intentionally bringing together Formula One creators in the same space, and especially women. I feel like there are a lot of events you go to where there are a lot of different kind of general or lifestyle or beauty type influencers or creators, but it was so cool to be in a room with all motorsport creators because it's kind of a niche, but I think it was a really, really cool thing of WhatsApp and Mercedes to do. And obviously to have Carmen host it was amazing. She, I think, made the time and talked to every single person in that room for at least 5 to 10 minutes. I got to talk to her for probably like 15 to 20 minutes. She was
okay. This is
so
my
nice.
Big question. I'm sure a lot of people's questions. What is she like in person?
Okay. So, you know how when you see influencers, people online, you have no idea what they're going to be like in person? I was blown away by her. She was so friendly, so down to earth, very articulate, very smart. Also, like kind of an open book. Like she didn't feel guarded about anything. She was talking about her relationship with George and like what he's like and what their schedule's like and what the realities of the race weekend is, which Tiffany Cromwell was also there, Valtteri Bottas's girlfriend and a professional biker cyclist. And they were just talking about how long these weekends are. And because these drivers are working so hard, like they kind of have to fill the time just like doing a bunch of
different
stuff.
They probably barely see them. Yeah.
Yeah. No, so they don't see them that much. Tiffany was like, yeah, that's where I do a lot of like crafty stuff. You know, she's an amazing designer. She's like, you can't do nothing. And Carmen was like, yeah, that was part of the reason I wanted to write this book that she just put out about investing. And so, I mean, they're working really hard, but they're having to fill the time during these race weekends. And I think it's kind of crazy that they're traveling especially so much. It's like,
especially like Vegas, where the literal race doesn't start until midnight. They have the entire day.
One thing that was really interesting that Carmen said about George's mindset in particular, she was like, nobody knows how hard these drivers work. Like it is 24/7. His mind is on it 100% of the time. There is literally no downtime for them mentally at all. And she was like, as soon as that starts to waver for George, like as soon as I can tell that he's like second guessing anything or his head's like not 110% in it, like he's going to stop and I'm going to like hold him to that, because you cannot be a Formula One driver unless your mind is 100% locked in at every moment.
It can be dangerous too.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really interesting. But yeah, it was just such a great event. We filmed some content with WhatsApp, so I'm patiently waiting for that to drop if it ever does. But it was really fun. We played some emoji card games and Tabby hopped in with me, which was, she did great, just kind of pinch hitting last minute. But it was super fun. And yeah, the food was amazing. The dinner was great. Loved hanging out with the creators that were there. And yeah, Carmen, also I DM'd her to thank her for the event. She DM'd me back, which I already told you guys, but she was like, yeah, if you're in the paddock, like come over to Mercedes for a coffee when I'm slightly less jet lagged and we can have a chat. And I was like, you are the sweetest person of all.
So nice.
The goat.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Wednesday. What did you do on Thursday?
So Thursday started with McLaren and MasterCard. I believe that was the first thing I went to. But
jam-packed day. There's so many events. We're gonna have to make sure we remember them all.
I feel like I need to pull up my calendar, but
yeah,
I'm pretty sure it started with the McLaren MasterCard event, which was, I was invited to, so such an honor to be there. So it was a round table with Zach Brown and Raja, who is the CMO, the chief marketing officer of MasterCard. And this was crazy. I think I posted it on our story, but the way that this media press conference happened was so Vegas. So first of all, it was in the Cirque du Soleil theater. So this round table comes up, like lifts up on a stage, and Zach Brown and Raja like come down out of the fog, and like we're like, it's like 20 of us media people just watching this happen. And our dear friend Luke Smith was there, and I was standing next to him. I was like, is this your standard media press conference?
Hopefully he was like, no, this is so Vegas. This is insane.
Yeah. But I think everybody loved it. And I felt so honored to be there because it was all media except for us. And then Tony Cohen Brown was also there, and maybe one other creator who I hadn't met before. But yeah, it was like New York Times, Motorsport, Autosport, like those types of people. So it was really cool to just be at that table. And they were talking about the launch of the partnership between MasterCard and McLaren and how competitive of a process it was to choose McLaren, the reasons they chose it, why McLaren wanted to go with MasterCard, and kind of what they're hoping to bring in terms of fan experience and that sort of thing. And
that's so interesting.
Answered some really good questions. It was a super cool conversation, and I'll be sharing more on our socials and stuff of the things that I learned, but it was so cool. And then they followed it by this crazy Cirque du Soleil show where they revealed the livery of the MasterCard logo on the front wing with McLaren. And yeah, it was crazy. But
I feel like event planners in Vegas are like, guys, hear me out. But what if this roundtable, like they probably just come up with the craziest ideas and everyone's just like, whatever, it's Vegas. Sure. I'm down.
Exactly.
But the budget, who cares about the budget? It's fine.
Yeah. Budget doesn't exist.
Not in Vegas. It does not. All right. Walk us through the rest of your day.
Okay. So I feel like I need to check if I did anything else, but my mind is going to the FP1, which I did with Dermalogica, and that was amazing. So FP1 with Dermalogica, it's really cool to see beauty and skincare brands getting into the sport. And Dermalogica, I feel like, has done it with such intentionality and thoughtfulness in a way that I don't want to say other brands haven't done, but it was cool that they invited so many F1 creators specifically. And I was talking to the people who at Dermalogica who were there, and they were just talking about, you know, how, yeah, you can throw events with massive influencers and generalize people, but they're like, we really care about the sport and we care about the people who are nurturing kind of the F1 aww fans. And I so it was that just so cool that they brought more F1 creators together, and they had this big activation at the fan experience as well, which I went to, and I got a little skin treatment and lots of different
did
products.
Did you get the micro exfoliating powder?
I have soap. Yes.
That's the best. I've used it for years.
Products. Yeah. And it's a cool brand because it's focused on like the skin science and skin health rather than just like beauty, which is kind of, I think, helpful for people to think about. So that was FP1. In between FP1 and FP2, we went to the main stage where Peter Bayer, the CEO of VCarb, and James Vowles talked. So Peter Bayer was actually really funny. Low-key, I want to interview this man badly. But he was talking about how he's been coming to Vegas to gamble for 25 years.
Oh,
he was talking about
guy.
I know. I was like, Pato also, we'll talk about the hot lap, but like Pato also loves to gamble. He loves the hell roulette yeah table, apparently. But Peter Bayer was also talking about, because they're kind of locked in this tight battle in P6 through P8-ish, I think, is where they're at. And every step is $10 million. So he was talking about how it's just torturous for them. Obviously, it's exciting and competitive and they feel optimistic, but it's kind of torturous to be locked in such a tight battle with so much money on the line. And he was talking about, we saw this when we interviewed Yuki and Liam in Austin, but he was talking about how competitive they are with each other. Like at dinner, Yuki would be like, okay, I'm going to get a starter and a main. And then Liam would be like, well, then I'm going to get a starter, a main, and a dessert. And then Liam would be like, okay, I'm going to get two starters, a main, and a dessert. And then at the end of dinner, they have like 50 plates on the table because they're so competitive.
That sounds so
That's so funny. This might be a good point to ask, since that was on the main stage. What did you think about the overall event and race experience for fans, especially since we were all there last year, if there were any differences?
Yeah, I loved it. I think Vegas is cool because you can kind of walk everywhere. Like, yes, it is big and it takes, like probably 15 minutes.
I only got 16,000 steps today, whatever day that
was. Yes, that was a verbatim text from Tiggy. We were saying, oh, are you walking everywhere? Are you able to Uber a little bit? And she said, oh, I'm Ubering a bit. Like, only 16,000 steps.
Like, flex. Go off.
I mean, it takes 16,000 steps to even get through one property in Vegas on the
so
strip.
True. Like,
going true through one casino, you're like, whoa, I can't believe this is still.
Did you take the monorail or whatever it was that you took?
I actually didn't take it once because I pretty much walked most places, which was nice.
And we'll talk about where you were staying, but you were definitely staying in like a good location.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I thought the fan experience was really good. I don't know about all the different grandstand locations, but it was really cool. I think a lot of people were sitting by the Sphere, which was awesome, and like getting to see all the different things popping up there in the T-Mobile zone. But yeah, they had just so much going on. And as you all remember from last year, like all the activations, the different properties, and it just – Vegas makes everything so accessible, which sounds ironic because the Vegas Grand Prix last year was not that accessible to fans, and maybe this year as well. But like once you're there, there are so many activations. You have to really choose what to go to because there are 50 options at one time. And I think it's probably a lot to handle if you're new to the sport, but it provides a lot of different opportunities.
Go Vegas. And obviously we're going to get into this later, but just incredible racing too.
I know.
Totally. All around. What an exciting race.
The haters are getting quieter and quieter each year.
So it seems.
And then so for FP2 Thursday night, I was so lucky to be able to go to the Paddock Club with McLaren and MasterCard. And that was such a cool experience. You get to kind of watch over the pit lanes. So got to see all the cars coming in and out. And you just get to see so much action there. And I got to see the cars practicing the start, which I don't think I've ever seen live before.
Oh,
have you all
tell us
seen
more about tell us more about that. Well, they at all the need to end... practice because everyone's being so strict these days.
I know. At the end of FP2, all the cars just lined up in like starting positions. It was random. You would have like, I don't know, a state car in like P1 position starting, but like it was fun. And I'm actually really curious. I want to learn how they practice that, because the lights aren't going out. Like, I wonder if they have someone counting them off in their ear, or if they're, I don't know how they're practicing the start and the reaction time, but they just kind of go one by one whenever they're ready. And I thought that was really cool to watch. So
fascinating.
FP2 ended at whatever, God knows what time, 11 something. And then I got to do the hot lap, which was crazy. I found out that day, God bless the team at McLaren and MasterCard, just truly the best experience of my life. And it got delayed. It was supposed to be in between, I think, FP1 and FP2. And then I think there was something going on with the track that they needed to make sure everything was okay.
And the drain so covers. That.
Exactly. But then we did the hot lap probably at like 12:30. And Pato was my driver. If you have not seen on Instagram the footage, we did post it. I am screaming the entire time, and it's very funny. But Pato was amazing. He was just – he's like, I haven't driven this car in a while. I'm like, please don't say that. But we hit 195 down the strip. That's a moment I will literally never forget. And Sarah, I don't know if you felt this way in Miami, but it felt like the longest lap of my life, like the longest 2 minutes of all time.
I was going to ask what stuck out to you the most in terms of, was it pure straight line speed? Was it more in the braking zones, drifting? What was drifting. The scariest or slash most exciting?
We do drift. You can hear in the video the tire skids a little bit, which is kind of crazy.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Chessa, no, you would love it. You would say no, and then you would get in and you'd absolutely love it.
That's a moment that I would surely black out. That's so fun, though. And Pato is the best. We interviewed him, I guess it was like over a year ago now, but he's such a vibe.
It's amazing. Yeah, but I would say the straight line speed was probably the craziest. But yeah, the brakes, the braking zones, you definitely feel the G-force. So that was wild. But yeah, looking over and seeing the dash at 195, I was like, help me.
That is wild.
But it was amazing. So Friday, we got to record in the studio we recorded last year. So thank you to the SiriusXM team and Jeremiah for helping hook that up, because we had the best time. It's the most official studio we've ever been in.
Insane.
And they just make it so seamless, and sound engineers, and we have in-ears, and it's very official.
The in-ears are the coolest. I forgot about that part.
And it's on the ground floor of the Wynn with that glass window. So people are walking by and can just see in. Laurent Mekies walked by. Liam Lawson walked by.
Nice.
People were just like perusing, which was cute. And we interviewed James Hinchcliffe, which I'm very excited to drop. And I'm excited for you guys to hear that conversation.
I'm so excited to hear this. I'm a big fan. He's been doing great on the North American races recently.
He is so good. You can tell he's a commentator. He just has the funniest one-liners and is really articulate and smart, and just so – he was so fun to talk to. So shout out to him for doing that on a crazy weekend. I can't even imagine what his schedule was like. So very sweet. We have some other content coming from that recording session as well. But then after that, we went to the F1 Academy Female Quotient event, and this was amazing. It was sort of like half panel business type conference, half just like hanging out, networking. They had personalized embroidered tote bags you could make, food, drinks, like everybody just kind of hanging out in a very chic space in the Wynn. And Alba Larson was announced with Tommy Hilfiger as their new F1 Academy driver for next year. So she was there.
And very exciting.
Susie, Naomi, and Tommy Hilfiger were on a panel together.
So actual Tommy Hilfiger?
The actual Tommy.
That's Hilfiger. So cool.
The actual Tommy.
The man himself. So that was amazing. And then we did our meetup in collaboration with FanAmp, and so many of you came. It was amazing to meet you all. Thank you for coming. We did some fun hot takes that we wrote.
The meetup looked so fun. Were you all writing out hot takes and passing them around?
Yes, we did. We're going to do an episode with them at some point, but I had people write their 2025 season hot takes, and there are some hilarious ones.
I hope some of them come true.
Same. So that was awesome. Okay, so we have to get to the main event. Friday, Saturday, I was with Marriott Bonvoy through their partnership with Mercedes. So I was at the Vegas Club on both Friday and Saturday. So that's Mercedes Hospitality with all their different partners and team members and just really cool people that were super fun to hang out with. Also got to go into the viewing gallery in the Mercedes garage to watch FP3, which was a crazy cool experience. And we can talk a little bit more about that. I stayed at the Bellagio for Friday and Saturday. So that was amazing as well. It's just the most stunning property. And it was such a nice oasis to come back to after the craziness.
I feel like the Bellagio played a key role in the Hangover for whatever reason. And that's all I'm imagining is you living that experience. But it is so luxe. That's so amazing that you got to do that. So yeah, tell us more about that.
It was so, so nice. I feel like in these race weekends, coming back to like a pristine, beautiful space and a beautiful room where you get to put on your robe and order room service and like take a nice shower, bath. And it was, I had a really good view in my room too. It's just, you feel so pampered. So I felt very lucky. But the best thing about all of this is that anyone can experience this through Marriott Bonvoy's Moments program, which is where you can bid on experiences with your Marriott Bonvoy points. And you actually don't have to spend a crazy amount of money on hotel rooms to get enough points, because two things. One, they do 1-point drops for insane experiences like the one I just had. So you can literally do something like this for 1 point, which is crazy. And two, a hack I learned is that you can connect your Marriott Bonvoy account with Uber and earn points through Uber Eats or whenever you take a car. So what? You don't even have to stay in a hotel room.
Okay, I'm Uber Eating after this and I'm going to do that. That's awesome.
Literally connect your account right now.
Catch me next year at the Vegas Grand Prix staying at the Bellagio.
Yeah, for 1 point.
Every day.
And also for all you Vegas lovers, the MGM collection is now a part of Marriott Bonvoy, which means you have access to 11 or 12, I think, of the most iconic properties on the Strip and beyond. So there are just so many amazing places to go earn points. And yeah, there are going to be so many more opportunities to experience races like this in F1. And stay tuned for next year's Moments announcements. I think they're coming soon. And it's not just F1. There are also concerts, culinary experiences, other sports events, so much more.
They're so creative with those. I remember when we were in Miami and we were talking to, you know, the team at Marriott Bonvoy. It was mind-blowing the amount of cool things that they were able to set up and people that you would never think that you'd be able to meet or experience or interact with in like such cool ways. Definitely check it out. And actually through the app, it's really easy to see all that's there. So it's very cool.
100%. And I met some of the people who had gotten this experience through the Moments program with their points, and they were just having the time of their lives. And actually someone I would go to school with won this through for the Abu Dhabi race, I think two years ago, through Marriott Bonvoy and the Moments program. So it is real. It happens and anyone can do it. And this, it's just like, it's the time.
That's so cool.
Your life.
So. Before we talk about the race, tell us about the actual Mercedes Club, like who you saw, what the vibes were, what you did, besides obviously watch the race.
Yes, we did watch the race. It was a night race and it was cold, so we had blankets, which was so nice. We kind of got to sit and watch over the track with blankets. And amazing food. I mean, Jesse, you remember this from Miami. It was just – it was incredible. Like, yeah. The Mercedes Club is insane. And there was no better weekend to be with the team than this. Like, through
that
practice, George Pohl, Lewis obviously wasn't super happy with quali, but the race, having a 1-2, it was – electric. And Jessa, do you remember Carl Cox, the DJ from Miami?
Oh yes, it's so fun.
Imagine that in Miami, but having George win and Lewis have it be like a Mercedes 1-2.
Yeah, we were partying so hard. Not actually, but like Miami vibes were intense. I think it was only because Max didn't win. So
yeah,
this was like a whole other level.
So this was crazy. Everybody from the Mercedes team basically came over from the paddock and from Paddock Club to come to the Vegas Club with Carl Cox, the DJ.
Everyone pause the episode right now and go look up Carl Cox. He's absolutely electric. He's so good.
It's amazing. Okay. And apparently George came literally 15 to 20 minutes after I left, and I'm kicking myself. I had a 7 a.m. flight. I got 2.5 hours of sleep. So I was like, I need to go home, but I could have stuck it out for 20 more minutes and George could have come. But I did see Nico Rosberg there. If you saw our stories of him dancing around and celebrating, that was a highlight. I got a picture with him, which may see the light of day at some point, but
I have it. I could always use it. It's actually a great photo. It's like not even blackmail type photo. It's a fabulous photo of you and him.
And the one cool thing that was different from Miami, Chessa, is that they had all these like Vegas type shows, acrobats and like crazy.
This is what I'm saying.
It was
stops.
Just insane.
Yeah. Or no stops. Yeah.
Yeah, literally none. The Instagram CEO was there, which I clocked immediately. I was like, hello. So yeah, lots of cool people there. Just the most amazing experience.
That sounds so amazing.
Thank you so much, Maria Bonvoy, for literally the time of my life. It made this the best race I have ever been to. And that's a high bar, I feel like.
For sure.
We've been to some amazing races. So
indeed.
Thank you so much.
So good. Do it then.
For a gift that's always on time and lasts a lifetime, you can't do better than Masterclass. With Masterclass, your loved ones can learn from the best to become their best. Just take a look at the iconic teacher lineup, including Anna Wintour, Kris Jenner, and Gordon Ramsay. It's the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 of the world's best. That's why Wirecutter calls it an invaluable gift. These classes are the perfect gift, and they really do make a difference. 88% of Masterclass members feel that it's made a positive impact on their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/forthegirls for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/forthegirls. The holidays are coming, and they are a great chance for self-reflection, goal setting, and connecting with loved ones. And learning a new language goes hand in hand with this, since it opens doors to meaningful conversation, enriching experiences, and of course, personal development. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. Personally, my extended family all speaks Italian, so I'm using Rosetta Stone to brush up on my skills before seeing them all for the holidays. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Plus, it's super intuitive to use and fully immersive and designed for fast language acquisition. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Paddock Project listeners can get Rosetta Stone's Lifetime Membership Holiday Special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving.
The end of the season, the end of the F1 season is upon us. And as we're busy going to races and wrapping up everything, we are trying to do everything we can to feel our best. And one thing that we have been using to help us are our Happy Mammoth products. We've been using them for a while, especially Estro Control. It really helps us support our hormones and alleviate those pesky PMS symptoms, including bloating. It also assists in maintaining cognitive health and promoting liver function and digestive health, which is really good as we're really busy and wrapping up and heading into holiday party season. Happy Mammoth, who also has the amazing Hormone Harmony supplement, it's a brand that's dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women, and they make no compromises when it comes to quality. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning F1 championships is sometimes also what you need to keep your car running day in and day out. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting into our overall thoughts and takeaways. One, I felt like a proud mom the entire time watching Tiki. So that was really fun to have, like, not like extra skin in the game, but to have all of that going on to it added a whole level of excitement for me. The race itself looked amazing. One thing that I thought was so funny, and we noticed this last year too, is like the cold. It really is cold. And the drivers were literally dressed like they were in the Arctic tundra. So that was always something that we thought about. The race itself, or the quality to me, was really, really exciting. The race itself was really exciting. The action was so good. Like, I have to give it to Checo on one of his things. That's kind of my MVP, so I'll wait for it. But overall, I think very exciting race. And I'm not even mad that Max won the driver's championship. But I'm still very happy about how it's all going.
Yeah, Sarah, you must
happy
be
that
glowing.
Max won. Yes, I am happy and feeling vindicated, because I do feel like the media kind of generally and Lando to some extent, people had really played up the extent to which it was going to be a fight, when we'll have to check back the records. But I feel like we were kind of saying on the pod over the summer, like, okay, Max is going to win the championship. But in terms of the race overall, the wheel action is incredible. We were talking about last year how it was one of the most thrilling races of the season last year on a street circuit in Las Vegas, which had been heavily criticized. And I think that continued to be true. Watching on TV, I'm sure Chessa kind of noticed the same. There were so many shots that had 3 to 5 cars wide, basically, or kind of in short succession going into corners. And I think overall, this is one of Max's best title wins, I think, if not the best, because it's true with, I think, any elite athlete. I was thinking about this with Lewis, too, of him driving from P10 to P2 or Max's drive from P17 to P1. A lot of times you see their excellence when they're in a harder situation, kind of back against the wall and needing to really fight for it. And obviously 2021 was so hard fought, but it was very controversial. And then the last 2 years, we've said this so many times, but it's almost Max's talent kind of gets not minimized, but it just isn't as much a part of the story, because when you're in the best car and you're 20 seconds ahead, no one's kind of really commenting on that. And I think this season he is in the third place constructors car. So arguably there's 4 people in faster cars with him who could have beaten him. And I think Checo being in P8 in the driver's championship is potentially more where the car should be. I think he's underperforming. I think maybe let's say P4, P5 maybe, but it's not really a P1 driver's championship car in the second half of the season. And he just drove flawlessly. So I think it's nice that he's getting kind of that recognition from the entire paddock of just, wow, this was really fought for and really deserved.
Yeah, I 100% agree. This season made me a Max fan, I have to say, which I think.
Let's go.
Really, Sarah, try to
stay standing. You know, it doesn't take away my fandom from the people you all know I love, but I have to agree that I think Max showed his stripes, and he has in past seasons as well. It takes so much to be so consistent, even in the fastest car, every single race, every single time again. But I think seeing that the Red Bull car, the cracks have started to show, especially in the latter half of this season. And I don't know how much to like put on Checo versus the Red Bull car, but I do think Max maybe owes Checo a little bit of a thank you to like see such a stark difference between the two and how amazing Max is, because I think Checo's a really good driver. And so I don't know. I think this season has been incredible for Max, and I'm very proud of him, which is a silly thing to say, but it's true.
Wow, I love that. Really seeing that. I feel like since that Red Bull event in Montreal, the little derby where they drove that soapbox cars, I remember after that, you're kind of like, wait, Max is kind of a great guy.
Like Max. I also have to say, I love that Zach and Lando were so sweet about Max's win. It felt like the paddock generally was really happy for Max in a way that
it was hard fought, but it was earned.
It was earned, and I think it was hard fought. And I think in past years when it was such a runaway, Max didn't get kind of the celebration he deserved, the recognition he deserved maybe. And I don't know, Sarah, I'm curious your thoughts if you felt that he got more of that this year, but it seemed at least that he was getting recognition from people like Zach, Lando, others that I think
definitely
really well deserved.
That's a great point. I think the Vegas Grand Prix, to their credit, did an excellent job of realizing, okay, Max might win the championship here. If he does, how are we going to respond? Are we going to include him in? And he's not on the podium, as a caveat. Are we going to include him? Are we going to bring him over to the podium? How are we going to celebrate? And they had him pull his car onto the grid at the end with the top 3 finishers. He went over in those cool down cars over to the Bellagio. So that was great, because I do think it was either last year or the year before, it was the strangest, most anticlimactic win ever.
Horrible.
I think there were 5 or 6 races left and just kind of nothing happened. So I feel like they did a great job this time.
What a way to win your 4th championship in Vegas. So cool. The other highlight for me in terms of main takeaways was just Mercedes. I don't think anyone was expecting them to come out and have the fastest car, especially I think in cold weather. Yeah. They've struggled. And so it was, I was so excited. I was buzzing all weekend. It was so amazing to be like with Mercedes and in the Mercedes club for this. So I guess that brings us
to, I feel like this was their best weekend in so long.
So long. And that's what Lewis said. He was like, the car has never felt better. And I'm like, that is
so sad. I mean, he had such a bad time in Sao Paulo. So thank God he feels good about it. But like, it's a little too late. There's two races left for him.
I know. But the best thing that they can ask for is just finishing on such a high note. Apparently they have a really amazing tribute coming for him, like an insane campaign. Good. So I am eagerly awaiting. I will be shedding so many tears. I don't even want to think about it yet, but we still have a couple more races. So anyway, this was just such a highlight to be there. That brings me to my MVP, which is Hamilton. I think driving from P10 to P2 and even having a sniff at P1, he wasn't able to close that gap at the end.
I thought he was going to get it for a while.
I know. I did too. I was like, I really want to put that out there, but I don't want to jinx it.
I woke up to 84 text messages this morning from Sarah and JD.
Yeah, oops. We were really excited. Hamilton is a goat. There was some meme out there that was like, something about a shelf life and Hamilton being like, screw your shelf life.
39. I always forget that, like, and George is like not even 30 yet. So
yeah, I mean, hats off to George too. George had an amazing race, such a well-deserved win. I think that was probably his most impressive win from my perspective.
It was a massive margin. Yeah.
So
from pole too, just dominating the whole weekend.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm giving it to Hamilton for the kind of recovery drive, but George also really, really deserves it as well.
So good. I'm going to do like a back of the pack niche MVP, which was the Checo double pass of K-Mag and Liam on lap 38. They were going three wide and he had like, the commentators were like, oh, two for the price of one. I can't believe he pulled it off. And it was very cool to see. So I'll have that one. And then the driver videos on the Sphere while they were driving by, it was very funny. Like there was just a very awkward one of Charles. Like he just looked huge on the Sphere. It was something.
Mine is Max, obviously, which we have already discussed, but I also loved some of the, I love that Lando and Zach were being so nice. And I love I think Sky Sports caught it on video of Max and Zach kind of shaking hands and Max saying, you said I could only win in the fastest car, right? And Zach's like, So I love that he was kind of cheeky about it. And I think that comment also goes to show how much it means to him to kind of show everyone that in not the best car, he has that talent.
Yeah.
100%. Sarah, what do you have for LVP?
I got to go with the Charles radio meltdown. That was of epic proportions. I don't know if we've heard a meltdown that bad in a really long time. And I will talk, we'll talk in detail about it later, and there were some team orders issues, and it seemed like he potentially was really justified in being frustrated. But you're not fighting for the championship. It's like a P3 towards the end of the season. Your teammates leaving. I don't know if you really need to kind of blow up the whole situation, but maybe it goes to show we've been talking for months about how Ferrari really has it together and are firing on all cylinders. And if that amount of frustration can boil over, I wonder if there's more difficulty behind the scenes than is apparent.
Yeah, I feel like Charles is always hard on himself. I feel like I actually feel some sympathy for him hearing that.
Yeah.
Like I agree that it's not the best look to get on the radio. And he did kind of acknowledge that at the end that he shouldn't have aired all of this publicly. But just like mentally, there must be some really difficult things going on. He must be so frustrated. And you hate to hear a driver sound like that and kind of lose control of their emotions and not be able to contain any of that. So I actually felt really bad for him hearing that. And I hope
I agree. I should kind of caveat. It's kind of an LVP of the whole situation.
Yeah.
Of the fact that he clearly feels like he's a team player and follows the rules and does what he's told and isn't rewarded for it, which I think is how Lando has felt. It's interesting. There's this tension between drivers need to be so cutthroat in order to win championships. And there's a question in some of these situations, like would Lewis or Max be being cooperative? And a lot of people would say probably not. And that some of these drivers, that it almost felt like that's what he was expressing, was what am I getting here by being cooperative?
Yeah. That was my LVP too, because listening to it just like put me on edge. I was just very uncomfortable listening to it. And again, like, maybe you shouldn't be like super savage on the radio, but like, you're a driver and it's a high stakes situation, you should be able to say what you need to say. But just listening to it was just like, ah.
Do you think you the know? FIA was like collecting pennies in the swear jar on that one?
Another problem, like community service.
Him and Max can do the community service together in Monaco.
My LVP was just Williams's luck. I feel like they're just having such tough luck, and seeing Franco's crash during quali and just like the reaction in the garage, it was just sheer tragedy. And then Albon obviously during the race is just such a tough thing to have happen, especially after Brazil, and having those mechanics work so hard on the cars to get them back in shape. And then just, yeah, I mean, I'm so glad Franco is okay from that crash. It was over 50 G's, which is insane.
Holy moly.
You have to be medically checked after a crash of that magnitude. And he was cleared to race, thank God. But like, it's just, I feel so bad for Williams right now. They're just having the toughest of goes.
All right, Tiggy, you said that you would never bet on our hot takes at a casino, which was the
and
right
I'm
move.
So glad I didn't.
So tell us how they how yours were, and then I'll say mine.
0 for 2. I said that Lando would hang on to the championship dream at least this weekend, but Max obviously won that this weekend, which I figured would happen, but I wanted to put out some good Lando juju. And then I said that Liam would get announced either before or after the Vegas Grand Prix. That has not happened yet, and we'll see if it does.
Mine was Checo out, no announcement as of the time of us recording this on Sunday night, and I had V-Carb P6, but they are still in P8, but still in the battle, but did not jump that. Okay, let's get into the race weekend. So practice highlights for FP1, we had a Mercedes 1-2. I think that's all we need to say there. For FP2, we had Hamilton on top, and then Lando and the Ferraris also up there with Max, who had some grip issues. And then for FP3, we had Russell on top. So kind of a Mercedes practice sweep.
For quali, Q1 was already an exciting session to kick the weekend off. George was setting the pace out front, followed by Lewis and Max. Checo, meanwhile, was really struggling. He was eliminated in P16, which was, I think, his 6th or 7th time being eliminated in Q1 this season. Mm-hmm. Really kind of dark. We'll talk more about that shortly. Dark. It was also a tough run for the Aston Martin. Stroll only got one lap in for the end of the session. So for cuts, we had Checo, Alonso, Albon, Bottas, and Stroll.
For Q2, we had the Mercedes and Max top 3 in the session. This time it was led by Lewis. And this is when Franco Colapinto had a heavy crash. He made a mistake, hit the concrete barrier. Thankfully, he was okay, but there was a ton of debris. The car was just destroyed. Red flagged the session, cut it short. And so out, we had Ocon, Magnussen, Joe Colapinto, and Liam Lawson.
For Q3, George continued to look really strong this session. He got pole position despite having a little clip on the wall. I think it was at turn 5. The margins looked very, very tight at this track. Hamilton had a pretty rough session, though, for Q3. He had a huge lockup moment that dropped him back in the order. So we had Sainz following George. Sainz was in P2. Then we had a surprise Alpine moment with Gasly in P3, which was awesome. Then we had Charles, Max, Lando, Yuki, Oscar, Hülkenberg, and Lewis.
Getting into the race, setting the stage a bit. It was 10 p.m. down the strip. Everyone seems very cold. Tiggy, glad you had those blankets.
Race night was actually much warmer than quali night. Quali night was so cold.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
For Colapinto, he unfortunately had to start from the pit lane due to really big and extensive repairs after his shunt. Bottas was also at the back of the grid with a new power unit component, and almost everyone started on mediums except for a couple people gambling on strategy. Alonso was on softs, Checo was on hards. Both of those gambles did not pay off. And for the start, Russell had a really great launch. He cruised ahead of Sainz into turn 1 and basically drove off into the sunset for the most part for the rest of the race. It was a very exciting turn 1, though, because Sainz had to defend against Gasly on the outside. Gasly had been in P3, so that gave Leclerc the perfect opportunity to slip through on the inside to do a double overtake for P2. And Leclerc was so strong at the start. He was flying, but they were struggling with tire drag, and he fell off a lot. So we let Sainz through and then Verstappen also passed him. So Charles had pitted only lap 10. And that was kind of the first indication that this is definitely a two-stop race for everyone. Meanwhile, sadly, Gasly, the P3 hero, was sliding down the order, which, again, F1 is so heartbreaking that you can have the best Saturday you've ever had and then have Sunday be a total disaster. I guess in this case, Friday and Saturday.
Totally. So for the second stint, the front runners pitted quite early. So it became clear that it would be a two-stop race. The tires were just degrading too fast. At this point, George had track position. He started building a lead out ahead. Hamilton was kind of upset at the team on the radio for pitting him early, but it did end up being the right call. Some colorful radio this race, for but sure. It's just another reminder that teams often have so much data. And yes, teams make the wrong call sometimes, but yeah, I think that was just an incident of like the team having more data on the tires and everything. Gasly had his tragic engine failure, DNF, after such an amazing past few weekends and obviously the P3 glory lap in quali. So that was so sad to see him out. And then Sainz really wanted to come in for a second pit stop, was pushing it so hard with the team, and they had him stay out last minute. He also yelled at them much more intensely than we usually see from him. So I think, I don't know, it was like the Vegas air. People were kind of feisty on the radio.
I wonder if they had all like lost a ton of money the night before. For the third stint, it looked like we would get some potential Max-Lewis battling, but basically Lewis just cruised past Max, which I'm sure was nice for you to see, Tiggy. Mm-hmm. He was just driving really smart. This was Max. Max was just driving really smart. And as he was reminded by GP, GP was just like, remember what our goal is here. And Max was like, yes, I'm driving my race. He was just trying to focus on solely beating Lando and getting the driver's championship. For Mercedes, they got the 1-2 at the end. Basically, they cruised through. The main excitement was whether Lewis would catch up to George because Lewis was flying, doing such an insane recovery drive, beating his own fastest laps. Unfortunately, at the end, he did not have enough time for that. We also had the Ferraris catching up to Max in P3, and there was a funny message of Max asking the team how hard they wanted him to try to keep them behind since he was already ahead of Lando. And it's just funny again. It was like, do you want me to do my job? Or like, what's the vibe? They end up getting through and Max dropped to P5.
And then we get to the infamous Charles radio at the end. So there's a lot that's unclear here, and there's definitely context that we don't know, which Charles said as much after that there is a backstory that is not public. It seems like his frustration stemmed a bit from pre-race discussions with the team about what he thought would happen, especially if he let Sainz through and then Sainz later evidently ignoring team orders. So Charles had let Sainz through in the first stint after his tires had completely fallen off. And then after the last pit stops, Sainz was told not to overtake Leclerc as Leclerc was on the pit exit, but Sainz did it anyway. And there was another super spicy radio where Charles's engineer said to him, oh, Sainz has been told not to push and not to overtake. And Charles responded, maybe try telling him that in Spanish. Oof. So then after Sainz said to Sky Sports, which this whole statement is so ironic because he's saying this to the media, he said, quote, I don't like using the radio or media to criticize or demonstrate. I prefer to do that behind closed doors because there are never good outcomes from these comments.
As he says, the comment that will likely have a bad outcome.
Yikes. Well, to round it out, Lando pitted for fastest lap to get that point for the tight constructors battle. And we had a finish with Mercedes 1-2, Hamilton, like we said, P10 to P2 drive, then the Ferraris, Max, the McLarens, Hülkenberg, Tsunoda, and Checo rounding out the points. Our radio of the week was, we had to give it to Max as our driver's champion just crowned. He said, certainly more difficult than last year, but we pulled through and gave it all. And I think that's a really good encapsulation of his drive to win.
There we go. All right, let's go team by team really quick. For McLaren, for Lando, I don't think this was like the weekend that he lost the World Drivers' Championship. The odds were quite low. And he actually looked like he had enough pace in the car. It was nice that he got fastest lap. I think for Oscar, it was very unfortunate that he got the 5-second penalty for starting infringement or starting penalty. They're being very, very hard on that lately, like how the drivers line up before the start. So for him to finish P7, all things considering, was not bad. One thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, though, was it kind of looks like the team has fallen behind a little bit in terms of just pace, and they were really seeming like they were going to soar above and beyond the rest of the teams. But I do kind of feel like they've fallen behind Ferrari, maybe even Mercedes after this weekend. How do you guys think the last two races will shake up for them?
I still think they're going to do it. I think they're going to get constructors, but I do agree that this race wasn't great for them on pace. I'm hoping that it's not just an indication of what the next two races will be, because I think Vegas is a little bit of its own beast in terms of track. Fair. But yeah, I think McLaren will hang on. But it's, yeah, I don't think they're assuming that they're celebrating until it happens. You just never can in F1, so.
Totally. I think I had a hot take at some point that Ferrari was going to get it. And, oh, I think it was when we were speaking at Columbia Business School. But I think at this point, there's a 25-point gap, and Ferrari evidently having now some driver dynamic issues, potential internal strife at kind of the worst possible moment. But again, you never know. Only 25 points across two drivers. So anything like a DNF, an engine penalty, extensive repairs, and needing to start from the pit lane, all that's going to have a huge impact now.
100%. For Red Bull, yes, Max is now a four-time consecutive world champion, and he joins the likes of Schumacher, Lewis, Prost, Juan Manuel Fangio, and Vettel. So there are only five others who have this incredible stat. We'll see if Max can keep it going, but super happy for him. Very well deserved. Sarah, I'm curious your thoughts on 2025. Do you think Max is going to make it a fifth?
I think it'll be tough. I think given how tight it's gotten, there were now seven drivers this year that had multiple race wins, which is wild. I think we're going to have – Kimi might have a learning curve, but I think next year there'll at least be 5 to 6 to 7 drivers who can be fighting for wins. And I think if McLaren and Ferrari put it together in the offseason with Lewis at Ferrari, I think it'll be tough, but you never know. I definitely wouldn't bet against Max, who never can. I think next season will be super exciting, though.
Well said.
For Ferrari, kind of okay in terms of finish position based on how many kind of issues they had. There was that team orders issue. So P3 and P4 definitely could have been worse.
For Mercedes, just amazing weekend overall for the team. George had his fourth career pole, converted that to a win, which is his second of the season and the team's first win since July at the Belgian Grand Prix. And then, of course, we talked about Lewis's recovery drive, P10 to P2. By lap 10, he'd already picked off five places, just really on a roll. So the team should be feeling very good. And judging from the celebration on Saturday night, they are.
For Aston Martin, no points for the team this weekend. Alonso did race pretty well, but had kind of a issue with tire strategy. They pit him too early to go from softs to mediums, and it did not pay off. So he finished outside of the points in P11, and then we had Stroll finishing P15. So tough for him as well.
For VCARB, this was back-to-back top seven starts for Yuki, but he fell back a bit and ended P9. Definitely a ton of attention on Yuki now, though, given that it's looking like Checo will be out, and Yuki kind of potentially seems like the most realistic option for them right now, because Liam had a promising start but ultimately ended up P17. He did have some wheel-to-wheel action with Magnussen. Love seeing him in these scrappy fights with some of the older, more experienced drivers. But out of the options that they have, it's kind of looking like Yuki could be getting a promotion soon.
We'll see. We asked Hinch about this, and he thinks it's going to be Liam. Not that we hold anyone to their predictions, but I don't know.
That would be really upsetting. I really want it to be
really unfortunate for Yuki. I agree. But it just doesn't feel like Red Bull takes Yuki seriously in the way that, I don't know, they would need to for him to get that seat. I hope that's not true. He is testing in Abu Dhabi in the Red Bull RB20, so I think that's good, but
We need a postseason Yuki versus Liam drag race.
Oh my God.
For the seat.
They're so competitive. I wonder if that's the undertone for like the competition here.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. For Alpine, for Gasly, only his second top three start in his entire F1 career. So just very tragic for him having to retire halfway through the race with a power unit issue. But well done to him nonetheless for even being up there. tough race for Ocon too with a P16 finish. So definitely not how they wanted to come back after an incredible Brazilian Grand Prix, but hopefully it's still going up from here.
For Haas, we had Hülkenberg come through with some crucial points for the team. He had a late pass on Yuki, so he got P8, which again is really important finishing order for them considering their P6 constructors battle and how they over that helped them overtake Alpine this weekend. K-Mag did not get points, but he did pull off a one-stopper, which was very well executed and good to see.
For Williams, Colapinto outqualified Albon despite his Q2 crash. 5 huge crashes for the team in the last 2 races. 5 is an insane number for 2 races. Oh my God. Colapinto did manage to finish P13. Albon had to retire the car with technical issues. So again, just like we were talking about before with their bad luck, really an unfortunate weekend and hopefully up from here.
For Stake, we had a P18 finish for Bottas. He had some grid penalties for power unit changes. It had been an exciting quali for Joe, but sadly, he also finished out of the points in P14. So it's really looking like kind of absent a miracle. They're going to be pointsless this season, which is so sad. But thankfully, this cannot keep Bottas down, and he is continuing his what's next what's imagery next? Everywhere.
I was talking to Tiffany about this at the WhatsApp Mercedes.
Oh my gosh, what did she say?
I asked her about the Iron Man. She said Bottas is crazy and he has this one friend and they get these like crazy ideas. And that's kind of how this what's next thing spawned, because they just like kind of egg each other on. And she was kind of rolling her eyes at the Iron Man thing and like an endearing, so funny way. But like,
so fun, and dating someone like that must just be add so much fun to your daily life. I love it.
Absolutely hilarious. And yeah, I think she and Bottas are such a good match for each other. Not that I've met Bottas, but I just like talking to her. I don't know. She's so cool. She's such, like a power athlete in her own right. And I'm sure she kicks Bottas's butt on the bike.
I'm sure. All right, let's talk about standing. So we have Max winning the championship in 403. Then we have Lando at 340 and Charles at 319. So keep your eyes out for that. We have Piastri 268, Sainz 259, so look at that one as well. Then we have Russell in 217, Hamilton in 208, so they could be battling. And then we have Checo in his own world at 152. And for constructors, McLaren 608, Ferrari 584, and Red Bull 555. Very cool to see. Then we drop down to Mercedes in 425, Aston Martin with 86, and then we have the big battle. We have Haas at 50, who passed Alpine. Alpine at 49. B-Car 46, then Williams 17, and Stake 0.
Such a tight battle. For some very quick news, an 11th F1 team is back in the news. There is reporting from multiple outlets that a GM Cadillac Andretti venture will be joining in 2026. The race reported that, interestingly, playing up the role of GM and Cadillac and maybe minimizing Andretti's role a bit seems to have brought them back into the conversation. There is also the probe, I think, that's still ongoing. So we'll see what happens there.
And next weekend, we have Qatar. So a little bit of a background for you all and what to look out for. This Grand Prix is quite new. It was first held in 2021. It's now a night race with a 10-year contract. It's called Lusail International Circuit, and it was originally actually built for a MotoGP event in 2004. It's 57 laps and 5.4 kilometers, and it's a pretty fast and flowy track with mostly medium high-speed corners. The main straight is quite long, so there are overtaking opportunities into turn one, but definitely going to be very different conditions from what we saw in Vegas.
For last year's race, we had Max cinching the title here last year, so this year he did it one race earlier. Last year, we had Max cinching the title here last year. This race was earlier in the year, so there were still 5 races left. He got pole, crucial dominant victory of Oscar, who was in P2. Lando was in P3. I think that podium was some good foreshadowing for this season. This race also had some big Mercedes drama with the collision between both drivers at turn one. George was able to continue, but Hamilton had to retire. And there was lots of track limit penalties for excessive violations. So look at that next weekend. And other things to look out for, constructors. I mean, now that the World Drivers' Championship has been decided, let's look at the constructors. We'll look at the kind of battle for the top three, or between the top three, and then that battle between P6 and P8 as well.
Let's hit hot takes. What are we thinking?
I'm thinking that Yuki will get announced as the Red Bull driver.
Whoa. And
we will see one of, I'm saying one of the rookies, either Liam or Colapinto, in the top 10.
Okay. I'm going to go with a double McLaren podium. I think McLaren is coming back strong after lackluster seems like an unfortunate and unfair word to use for Vegas because they still both scored points, but lackluster for their standards now.
Got it.
This is tough. I think I'm going to go with Charles Wynn. Ooh. I would like to push some positive energy in his direction, and especially now that there is kind of this fight for P2 in Drivers' Championship, which I think could potentially have kind of symbolic meaning, and obviously Lando would really hate to lose that. So that will also be interesting to watch.
And with that, we'll see you all next weekend for Qatar.